Today's shir is a Masechta in the Nedarim on Daf Pei Hei. We will begin on Pei Dalet Amud Beis, nine lines from the bottom of the Yomid at the two dots. The Gemara begins by quoting from the Mishnah on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Kohanim Ulevim Nenin Li Yitlu. Actually, the complete quote from the Mishnah is Koinim Kohanim Ulevim Nenin Li Yitlu Al Korchach. The Mishnah told us that if someone makes a neder, that Kohanim and Levim should not have anah from him. They should not be able to take the Trumas of Maisris. Yitlu al-Karchach. They can take the Trumas of Maisris by force from him. The Gemara says on this, Alma we see, Toivus hanah ein amamin. That Toivus hanah is not considered as him having, the owner having a part of a monetary value in this item. Toivus hanah means that the person has the ability to decide which kohen and levi should receive the trumas and maaseres. And the question is that ability, that right to give it to who he wants, is that itself considered a monetary interest that he has in this chafetz, in this item? So the Gemara says, it would seem from our Mishnah that our Mishnah holds that Toivus Hanah is not considered that he has some monetary interest in it. Because if Toivus Hanah was Mamoin, as the Run explains here, then how could the Kohanim and Levim, who are prohibited by his neder from having Hanah from him, how could they take the Trumas of Maisris? They are having Hanah from the monetary ownership that he has in the Trumas of Maisris, which is the Toivus Hanah, that ability to give the Trum and Maisra to whoever he wants. If they can take it against his will, as the Mishnah states, it must be that ability is not considered as having any legal monetary right in the item. Toivus Hanah ain't a moment. Ask the Gemara, aim a seifa, tell me the seifa of the Mishnah, would seem to be a contradiction. The Mishnah stated, Kohanim Elu, if he did not say generally that all Kohanim and Levim should be prohibited to have Hanah from him, but rather the Madir said, these specific Kohanim or Levim Elu, these specific Levim should not have Hanah from me, but the rest of the Kohanim and Levim are able to have enough from me. The din is, if he said Kohanim Elu, Levim Elu, Nen and Li, the din is, Yitlu Acherim, that Ein Echanami, those Kohanim and Levim, are not able to take the Trumas of Maestris, but other Kohanim and Levim are able to. Aval, Lahani, Loi. But we see, even though the Mishnah said that others can take it, we deduce from this, that those Kohanim Levim which he prohibited to take, they, Einach Nami, are not allowed to take. Alma, from the Sefer of the Mishnah, we see, Toivus Hanah, Mamoin, that it must be that his right, his ability to give the Trumas Maisers to whomever he wants, that is considered a monetary value. It is considered that he has some type of ownership in it, and therefore it prohibits those specific Kohanim and Levim which he prohibited from having Hanah from him from taking the Trumas of Maestris, because if they were to take it, they would be having Hanah from his ownership, which comes about through Toivus Hanah being money. So from the ratio we have learned, Toivus Hanah is not money, and that's why anybody can go ahead and take the Trumas of Maestris, any coin or levy. And from the Sefer of the Mishnah, it would seem just the opposite. We have a stira. Amar Rav Oshia answers Rav Oshia, like Hashia. This is not a difficulty. Ha Rebbe, v'ha Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Because in fact, we have a machlok, as we're going to see in the upcoming Brisa, between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, whether Toivus Hanah is considered Mammon or it's not considered Mammon. And therefore, as the Run explains, the ratio of the Mishnah on Pegilim and Beis is going like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Toivus Hanah is not money, and the Sefer is going according to Rebbe, you hold that Toivus Hanah is Mammon, and therefore the specific Kohanim and Levim that he prohibited may not take the Trum and Maaser. Where do we see this machlokes? The son you learned in a Braisa. Hagoinev tivlei shel chaver v'ochloi, if somebody stole the tevel, this is the grain that there was not yet taken trypanosomiasis from this grain. So you have chulin, the secular, non-holy, non-kaddish grain mixed together with the grain that will eventually become trypanosomiasis, and that mixture is called tevel. So if someone stole that tevel from his friend and ate it, the question now is, how much does he have to pay the owner? How much was he mazik? How much did he damage the owner? So Rebbe says, Mishalim loy demei tivloy, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says he has to pay for the entire tevel. Whereas Rabbi Yudah says, Ana Mishamal demei chulin shvoy. All he has to pay for damaging his friend's tevel by eating it is only that amount which will remain as chulin after he takes off the trumas and maestras and gives it to the Kahanim and Leviim. What remains is chulin. That is what he was mazik this Yisroel. And that's, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, all that he has to pay. Now, there is a very major machlokas here between the Rishonim. Exactly what did Rebbe mean when he says that he has to pay for the entire mixture here of chulin and truma together, which is called tevel? He has to pay for everything. The Ritva in Masechta Kedushin on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis tells us two pshatim, and those two pshatim are actually found in the Rishonim on our Daf. The Ritva says the first pshat, that the Dmei Tivloi means whatever will eventually wind up to be chul, and he has to pay in full because that was a total damage to the owner, who is the Yisrael here. And then from the Trum and Meiser, as the Gemara now is going with that Hava Minah, that the pshat in Rebbe is that Rebbe holds Taivas Hanoah is Mammon, since he has some value in the Truman Meiser as well, he has to pay what we estimate that value is worth. As the Rajba in Kedushin of Nun Ches Amud Beis says, that what Rebbe means when he says the Mei Tivloi is whatever is owned from the value of the tevel. As far as the what will wind up to be chulin, everything is owned to the previous owner. And the truma and meiser, what is owned is the value of the taivas hanoah, but not the full value. As the Rishonim speak out, he didn't damage him a full value as far as the truma and meiser is concerned, because the truma and meiser, after all, belongs to the Leviim and Kohanim. The second pshat in the Ritva is no, that of course the chulin, you have to pay the whole thing. But even the Truman Meiser, once I say that Rebbe holds that Tovus Hanoah is Mammon, so that monetary value that the owner has, even in the Truman Meiser, that enables him to collect for everything. He's called an owner on the entire mixture of Truma, Meiser and Chulin all together, the entire load here of Tevel. I'm an owner, because even under Trum and Meiser, I'm considered an owner since I have the Taivas Hanoah in it, and I'm an owner on that specific value that gives me an ownership right to the whole thing, and you have to pay me for everything. That's the second pshat in the Ritva. And if we look here on the Daf, we will see that the Rishonim here in the Sugya have these two pshatim. The run, the last run on the Amud says, in Divrei HaMaskil Misham Aloi Demei Tivloi, Demei Chulin Sheboi, he has to pay for the value of the Chulin, U Demei Trumas U Maestris Lefi Toivas Hanoah Sheyesh Loi Ben. On that, he has to pay also, but he doesn't pay the whole value. He pays whatever we estimate is his Toivas Hanoah, the pleasure that he gets of giving the Trumas U Maestris to whoever he wants. That is what the Mazik will have to pay. As the run continues on Pei Hei Omed Aleph, the Sphere relay, the Taivas Hanoah Mammon. So he pays for the Taivas Hanoah. However, if we look at the last Mefarish here, Rashi, the Mefarish, he seems to say different. Divrei Amaschel de Rebbe Eimer, Misham Loi de Mei Tivloi, Savar de Tavis Hanor, Shehoye Shaloi Ba'oisim Atonis, Bahai Tevel, Shehoye Noisin Lekoyin, Sheyirtsa, whatever coin he wants to give, Have Mammon, that's considered a monetary value, Ulahachi, Mishalim Loi de Mei Kuloi, and that's why he pays everything. And the Rush perhaps even speaks it out more. The Rush is found, the first Rush on Pehei Omid Aleph, on the right hand column. Divrei Amaschel de Rebbe Sover Tavis Anah Amayin Hilchah Tzorach L'Shalom Loi Kol Demei HaTevel. So the Rosh seems to say very clearly that as a result of the ownership that I have, not only in the Chulin, but even in the Trumas of Maestros, as far as Tavis Anah goes, then you have to pay for the entire Tevel, the entire value of all the Tevel. So this is a fundamental Machloikas Rishonim here in the Sugya. Continues the Gemara, we're still on Pei Dalet Amud Beis on the last line. My love, isn't the machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Yisro Yudin the following din? My love, balkamithli, as we turn to Pei Hei Amud Alf. The Rebbe, Sover Tavis Hano, Mammon. Rebbe's of the opinion that Tavis Hano has a value. And that's why you have to pay for the entire Tevel. And we just spoke out the two shitas of the Ritva and the Machlokas between the Run versus the Rush and the Mefarish. Exactly what that means. But I have to pay something, certainly, for everything that I was mazik. For Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Sover, no. Toivus Hano, ain't a moment. Toivus Hano is not considered a monetary value in this item. And therefore, on the Trumas and Maestris part, there I have to pay nothing. All I pay as a mazik is for the chulin part of what I destroyed. And what about the Kohanim and the Levim going over to that mazik? They can't go to him either, because any kohen that comes over to him, he'll say, I perhaps want to pay a different kohen, and not I want to pay a different Levi. So that's why he would only have to pay for the chulin that he damaged. So the Gemara wants to say that the machlokes, Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, is totally in this shaila of Tavis Hano, is mammon or ain't a mammon. And therefore, the reish of our Mishnah will be going according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Tavis Hano is not mammon. And that's why any kohen or levi can take the Trumas of Maestris, if he ushered it on everybody, and the seif of the Mishnah that says that the specific Kohanim and Levim that he prohibited may not take, and the other Kohanim can take. So that's going according to Rebbe, who holds a Tavis Hanah Mammon, and therefore they would be having Hanah, and therefore they're not allowed to take it from him. So the Gemara says, Loi. The Kuli Alma Tavis Hanah Ainam Mammon. Really, I could tell you in the Machalikas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda that they both hold that Tavis Hanah is not Mammon. Elohocha, you know what the machlokas is, a different machlokas. B'matanoi shaloi hurmu kamifli. They are arguing in matanois that are given to the kayen, which were not yet separated. Is that considered as if they are separated or not? In other words, Rebbe holds that matanoi shaloi hurmu, that were not yet separated, it's as if we consider it that they are separated. And Rebbe, who holds that you have to pay for, I correct myself, Rebbe, who says that you have to pay for the entire Tevel, as the Run explains here, holds that since they were not yet separated, everything, as the Run says on the fifth line, Havilahu kichulin shaboy. The Trumas and Maestros are considered like Chulin. Since they weren't separated yet, I don't look at them as Trumas and Maestros. So I look at the whole thing as if the whole thing's Chulin. The Lav Kamisha Hermadamin, Rebbe holds, it's not considered as if it was separated. So therefore, I have to pay for the entire Tevel as if we're dealing with an entire batch of Chulin. However, Rebbe Yossi holds, as the Run explains, that it is Kamisha Hermadamin. And therefore, since everybody holds that Tavis Hanah is Einoi Mammon, so on the Trumas of Maestros, what do I have in it, the owner? Only Tavis Hanah, which is not considered Mammon. And it's considered Kamisha Hurmu, as if it's already in its Tevel state, as if the Trumas and Maasros were taken off, so all the Mazik has to pay is for the Chulin part. And Rebbe holds that it's not as if it was separated. So I look at the whole batch as if it was all Chulin, and he has to pay for everything. And according to this pshat, Einachanami, it could be that all the Rishonim would be Moida in Rebbe, that when he pays for the Chulin, he would pay the full value. Because we're not going here that it's Trumas and Maisris with Toivis Hanoah, and maybe you don't pay for the whole thing. That was the machlokes we had in the Ritva, and the Rush versus the Rush and Rashi versus the Run. But here, according to this Pshat in the Gemara, if Loi Hur Mudamyin, it's not considered that this Trumas and Maisris is taken off. The Run uses a Lashon. The whole thing is considered like Chulin. If the whole thing is considered like Chulin, so then perhaps he would have to pay, according to Rebbe, everything, according to all Rishonim, the full value of the Tevel that he destroyed. Now, in this inyan of Matanis Shaloi Hurmu Kahurmu Dami, what is the Svara of that? According to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's Svara, that's Kamisha Hurmu Dami. So the Shiltas in Parshas Korach says that the Svara is that kol shabiyade lafka mechusar ma'isadami. Whatever's in my hand, whatever I'm capable of doing, it's considered as if it's not missing an action, and therefore it's as if it was done. Rashi in Kedushin Daf Nun Chesamid Beis tells us the lashon hoyel va'oim des lafrasha. Since this is waiting to be separated, it's considered already separated. A little different than the Shiltas, but the same concept, it's already considered as if it was done. It's interesting that the Or Sameach and Hilchas Maaser Sheni, Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, tells us that this whole swara of Matanish Lehurmu, Misha Hurmi Adamian, is only after the Gemar Malacha. Once there was a Chiyuv of Hafrasha, it was made into a kri, there's a gemar malacha to the tvua, then at that point, we say that matan shalayurmu kamishur madami. But before it's finished off, before it's in its final state, then everybody will be moida that matan shalayurmu is lav kamishur madami, that they are not considered as if they are separated. But the Gemara has an immediate question on this shot in the machlokes between Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi. The e Tavis Hanoah ain't a mammon. If you're telling me that both Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda hold that Tavis Hanoah is not money, Mali Hurmu, Mali Loi Hurmu. What is the difference if it's Hurmu, it's not, or if it's not considered separated, or it is considered separated? Even if you want to tell me in Rabbi that it's not considered separated, but the Gemara is asking that. What the Run says, that I have to look at the whole thing as Chulin, the Gemara says, I don't have to look at the whole thing as if it's Chulin. I have to look at it as if it's Chulin, which is mixed in Trumas to Maisers. I don't know yet which grain is going to become the Trum and Maiser. But I don't look at it as a total batch of Chulin. I look at it as Chulin with Trum and Maiser sprinkled in, as the way the Run explains the question over here. If you're coming with a understanding that Toivis Hanoah ain't a mammon, then it really doesn't matter whether it's considered as if it's done already, that there's Chulin separated and Trum and Maaser separated, or if it's all mixed together, because after all, what is mixed together? It's the eventual Trumas and Maasers that are mixed with the eventual Chulin. And in that section, it's going to wind up Trumas and Maasers. You're telling me that everybody holds Toivis Hanoah ain't a mammon. So if so, even if I say, like we wanted to say in Rebbe, that Shaloi Hur Mudamyin, it's not separated, but I wouldn't look at it as total Chulin. So why should he have to pay for that if Toivis Hanoah is Einoi Mamon? He doesn't own anything in that part. Why should the Mazik have to pay for the whole thing? So this Machloikis, the Gemara questions. Elo Haina Taima de Rebbe, the Gemara says, you know what the reason of Rebbe is? They made a knas. You do not have to pay for the chulin. But they made a knas that the ganiv should have to pay even that part. You don't have to pay for the trumas and maestras part because toivis hanoah is einoi mammon. So why does Rebbe say that you have to pay from the Trumas to Maaser's part as well? That's a knas mit rabbanon on the ganav that he shouldn't steal in the future. You know what? We're going to make you pay not only for the chulin part, we're going to make you pay even for the Trumas to Maaser's part. As the Run explains this part of the Gemara, that the Ran says, with the Hagois Vitsiyunim on the side, Oistalit, Hashta loy mi boyi loy machra lon e isla litur. I'm reading from the Divri HaMaskel Alahayna time of the Rebbe. The Gemara is not machria now, litarvayu, that Tovus no momen or ain't a momen. We don't know whether Tovus no is momen or it's not momen. But I can give you a pshat either way. You wanted to make the Machlokes Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, whether Tovus HaNo is money or it's not money. I'll tell you that each way that you go, I have a pshat. If you go that both of them hold, that it's Eina Mammon, so who works out good? That is, Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda works out very well, because the chulam part you pay for and the truma meister part you don't pay for. Who is difficult? Rebbe. So on that, the Gemara said, I have an answer, that they made a special knas mit a rabbonin, that a ganav shouldn't steal. He's even going to have to pay for the truma meister part, even though Tovus HaNo is ain't a mammon. And now continues the Gemara the way the Ran explains it, even if you're going to tell me that both of them hold, Tovus HaNo is mammon. So then Rebbe makes sense that he has to pay even for the Trumas and Maestros as well, not only for the Chulin, but for Trumas and Maestros. Who is difficult? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says you only pay for the Chulin. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, continues the Gemara, Kansu Rabbanu Lebalabayis, Kehechid Lelishi Letivlei. The knas works the reverse. It's not a knas on the ganav that he stole. It's a knas on the owner. What are you leaving around tevel? In order that you should not, kehechad loy lishe letivle, you shouldn't leave around tevel for the ganav to steal. We're going to continue that if the ganav did have an opportunity to steal it, that he will only pay you back for the chulin, and he will not pay you back for the term of meiser, even though Tovus HaNo is mammon, and he should really have to pay you either something for it or totally what he was mazik of the term of meiser, as we explained before, the two shittas in the Ritva. However, no, we're going to constant you that you're not going to receive anything from the Trumas and Maestros. So what the Gemara is saying at this point is that we don't have a proof what the Machlokes Rabbi Yosef Rebbe Yehuda and the Rabban and Rebbe is concerning Tovus HaNo Mammon. It could be both of them hold Tovus HaNo is Mammon, could be both of them hold Tovus HaNo is not Mammon. Rava Amar, as the Ran explains, Rava holds really, we say, Tovus HaNo is Mammon. If Tovus HaNo is Mammon, so then you had a stira in our Mishnah from the Reisha to the Seifa that the Reisha was difficult. How could all the Kanan Levi'im take from the owner Bal Korcha if Tovus HaNo is Mammon? They're having Hano from him. Answers Rava, shiny truma. Truma is different. Dahin the time of the Yitla Korcha. This is the reason why they can take it Bal Korcha. Mishum the truma lechaziel lekahanim. To who is truma able to be eaten? Only Kahanim. The Kivin the Ka'asi Lemisra Laya. And since he is prohibiting the Kahanim and the Levim from having Hanoah from himself, that means that he now will not be able to give this Truman Meister to any of the Kahanim or Levim. Shavya Afrabama, what he has done to the Truman and Meister is make it earth. Meaning that, as the Ran explains, the Lashon, the first wide line here, the medium wide lines, the afgrei lahi Tovus HaNo sheyeshlo, but what he has accomplished is that he has nullified his right, his monetary right in this product by not allowing himself to exercise the Tovus HaNo. You made a netter that no kohen or levi can have any benefit from you. That means you're not going to be able to give it to any kohen or levi. If so, you don't have any Tovus HaNo in this. If you don't have any Tovus HaNo, that's why all Kohanim and Levim can take. The Seifa works out very well, because since we hold Tovus HaNo is Mammon, according to Rav Shita, so that's why the Kohanim and Levim, those specific ones that I prohibited, they cannot take from me. Because since I have a Tovus HaNo, and I prohibited them from taking, so they're taka usser. The other Kohanim Levim who don't have a problem with my neder, because I didn't make a neder, they are the ones who I will be able to give to whoever I want, but the ones that I prohibited will not be able to take from me by force because of Toivus HaNa'amamin. Mash Yankin in the Reisha, where I didn't leave an opening, I didn't leave any opening for any Kohen or Levi to take it, so what I have done in reality is to totally nullify my invested right of Toivus HaNa'amamin, and therefore it's hefker, and anyone has a right to take it. Now, on this, the Rashba has a question. Why do I say it's hefker, and anyone can take it? Because I can't give it to any Kohen or Levi. I still have a Tavis Anah, because I could sell it to someone else, and then he will be able to give it to whatever Kohen or Levi that he wants. Answers the Karen Oira, that we have a rule that ma mocher rishon l'sheni kos chashatov liyari. What is the first person able to sell to the second? Whatever right he has, he can sell to the second. But here, the Torah gave him a right to choose which kain, because it says v'nasan, that you're the one who decides who you give it to. But once you destroy that right by making a neder prohibiting you to give it to any kind of levy, so then you can't sell that right to anyone else either, because you don't have it yourself based on the netter. So therefore the Karen Ira says, to answer the Rajabas Kasha, that he once he makes such a netter, not only can't he give it to any kind of levy, but he won't be able to sell that right to anyone else as well. Now the run here, the second of the medium wide lines, says a chiddush, umiha shaminin, from our Gemara. We learn, since we said that in the Reisha, where he makes a neder, that the Kohen Levi should not have the ability to take the tvua from him, that actually the tvua becomes hefker and anybody can take it, so we can make the same comparison to a different halacha. Umiha shaminin, sha isra nas peris al atzmai. If somebody prohibits himself from having hanah from his own fruit, so now it's isure hanah to him. If he cannot stop anyone from coming down and taking this fruit from him, because his fruit becomes hefker, just like you see in this Gemara, that by means of his neder he makes the tvua hefker, and any kohen and levi can take it against his will. So too, if he forbids on himself having hanah from this fruit, so for all intents and purposes, he's being mafkarit, and then anyone can come along and take it against his will. So says the Ran in the name of the Rashba. The Machne Ephraim disagrees with this comparison from our sugya to the halacha that the Rashba stated, because the Machne Ephraim says it's a big nafgemina. Because Isure hanah ain't a chanami, he is usher to have hanah from it based on his neder, but it's still, he's still considered a bailim of that which he prohibited through his neder, because, for example, he can pay off his debts with it. If a balchoyv comes and takes this from him, his debt is considered paid up. He can give it over to family members. He alone is prohibited to have hanah, but he's still called a bailim on it, so it wouldn't be hefker. Our Gemara is speaking about where really this thing belongs to the Kohanim and Levim. It's only that I have a Toivus HaNoah in it. Once I destroy my Toivus HaNoah by making a netter where I cannot give it to any Kohen or Levi, so then I have destroyed the last vestige of ownership rights in this Tfua. I have destroyed the Toivus HaNoah. Then in Echanami, it's Hefker. I have no bilus left. Whereas if I just prohibit upon myself from having HaNoah, I could still give it to a relative. I could pay a debt with it. I'm still considered a Baal, although I am not allowed to have an offer from it, and therefore the Machne Ephraim says that we would not compare the two dinim. Continues the next Mishnah, we know from the Gemorang Subis that a woman's Maisi Adayim belong to her husband. There is a quid pro quo of the husband having to provide mizonos, food for his wife, and the wife has to give her Maisi Adayim to the husband. there is a machloikis in Masechta Ksubis whether this was a takana for the woman, for the wife, or whether there was a takana for the husband. Is the ikar takana that the wife, her maisi adayim, what she earns may not be enough to support herself, and therefore the takana was that the husband should give mizonos and quid pro quo, that he shouldn't be upset that his wife's earning money and he has to give her mizonos, that she has to give back to the husband the maisi adayim? Or was the takana the opposite, that she is mechuyiv to give the maisi adayim to the husband? But the Chachamim said, once she's giving the Maaseh Adayim to her husband, at least he should give the Mizonos to his wife. And we will see the Nafka Minna, which way the Takana was established later in today's Shir. The Mishnah here is saying that if a woman made a neder that I do not want that my Maaseh Adayim should support my father or your father, the mouth of my father should not benefit from my earnings, or she says to the husband, your father should not have any hanoah from my maisi adayim, or my brother shouldn't have hanoah, or your brother, my brother-in-law shouldn't have any hanoah. So the halacha is, the husband is not allowed to be made for this neder, as the Ran says, the last line of the run, the ain elu nidre inu nefesh v'loy dvorim shebein noy lebeino. These are neither considered nidorim, where she is causing herself inui, suffering, and that's one type of netter that he can be mevatel. This is not such a netter, therefore he can't. It's also not considered something that affects their personal relationship, and therefore he cannot be made for this netter. What happens if she says, she'eni oisal picha, she says, I'm making a neder that you should, her husband should not have any anoa. So there's a three-way machlokas, what the din is. The Tanakhama says, ein oitzarech lahofer, that the husband does not have to be mefer, because the Tanakhama holds that a husband receives the takana is that she is meshubed to give the maisi adayim to her husband. It belongs to her husband. And the hadafa, even what she does extra, she earns more than she's supposed to. The Gemara in Ksubis tells us that a woman weekly is supposed to produce mishkal chamesh shlom, the weight of 5 shlom of warp thread per week. Anything more than that is called hadafa. So the Tanakhama holds that hadafa also belongs to the husband and not to the wife. And therefore, ein oitzarech lahofer. He doesn't have to be made for such a neder because the neder is not chal. He owns her maisi adayim, and therefore she cannot prohibit it, her maisi adayim, from him getting it. However, the second sheet is Rabbi Kiva Omer. Rabbi Kiva says, Yafer, he should be mefer. Why? Shema tadif olav yosman aroyli. Maybe she will produce more than she is obligated to produce. And Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion, as the Ran explains on Amud Beis, that the extra belongs to her and not to him. So if she is going to make extra, therefore he better be mefer. And he is able to be mefer, as the Ran explains, because it remains dvorim shebeinoy lebeinah. In this case, it is considered something that will affect their relationship. Why? Because Taisin Subastaf Nuntes Amid Aleph explains that it's very difficult for him to live with his wife and have to make sure that anything extra he cannot have anah from. That will lead to fighting. He's able to get from his wife up to a certain amount. Anything more than that, she is prohibiting on him. Therefore, he should be made for this neder because it's considered dvorim shebeinah lebeinah. So, There is a necessity for him to be mefer, and he's able to be mefer. That is what Rabbi Akiva says. The Ran points out that the Gemara on Amud Beis, the Ran tells us, in Divrei HaMaskol Reb Yochanan ben Nuri, as the Ran says at the end, Upluktai badofe idabal havye eloi ukimna labiksubis badofe shayideat chakris hasam. In other words, more there tells us that the machlokus over here, whether hadofa belongs to her or to him, according to the Tanakhama, that dofa belongs to the husband, and therefore, ain't a tzarch lahafer. He doesn't have to be mefer, because she's meshubah to give it to him. According to Rabbi Kiva, it belongs to her, and therefore the husband must be mefer. And it's speaking about where the hadafa was al yedei atchak. She was very energetic. She did more than usual. If it was hadafa, not with any extra effort on her part, it was just by the natural course of events, so then everybody would be moited that it belongs to the husband. But here it's speaking about Hadafa Yedei Atchak, where she really worked hard to get that extra. Here we have a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Tanakhama, whether the Hadafa belongs to him and he doesn't have to be mefer, whether the Hadafa belongs to her, and therefore he needs to be mefer, and he's able to be mefer because it's considered Dvorim Shebeinoi Lebeinoi. And now we come to the third sheet in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Oimer, Yofer, he should be Mefer, but not for the reason that Rabbi Akiva says. Because concerning Hadafa, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Shita is like the Tanakhama, that Hadafa, even al Yedei Atchak, is considered that it belongs to the husband, and that would not necessitate a Hafora through the husband. But you know why it should be Yofer? Because Shema Yigar Shana, maybe in the future he's going to divorce her. And at that time, her netter will go into effect on the Maisi Adayim that she will earn afterwards, after the Gerishin, and then if he will want to remarry her, and if she has on herself a neder that does not allow her Maisi Adayim to go to her husband, he will not be able to remarry her, because it's impossible that he won't benefit in some way from her baking, from her cooking, from other activities that she's obligated to do in the house, and therefore it's not possible for him to get married in such a situation. So therefore he should be mefer because of these circumstances that are going to happen in the future. Yofer shema yigarshana v'tehei asura olav, and she will be usher for him to remarry. The Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because the Ran on Amud Beis tells us two reasons. Either that Hafora is not chal on the time period after Gerushin, or that this entire neder, as the Gemara is going to get into this sugya, is a Dover Shalai Bali Oilam. It's something in the future. It pertains to a get that hasn't taken place. It's in the future. It pertains to a Maisi Adayim of the future. It's not here. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that you can make a hafora on something in the future. However, the Chacham disagree with this and say that just like we say, ain't not a magdish dover shloi b'alyom, you cannot be magdish something in the future that is not here yet. So too, a neder, which is equivalent to a korban, as we've had throughout the Masechta, is considered like hegdish, and you can't do it in the future. If it's not chal now, says the Ran, then it can't be chal la'achuz man either. That will be the three-way machloikis here in the sugya. Begins the Gemara, Amar Shmuel halach Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Shmuel says the halach is like the third sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Lameimra to Gesavr Shmuel Adam Magdish Davr Shloi Bali Oilam. Should we say that Shmuel holds that you can be magdish something that has not come to the world yet? As we explained, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri told us two chedushim. Number one, legabi hadofa, he held like the chachamim that it's not necessary to make a hafora because hadofa belongs to the husband. The Gemara understands from Shmuel, when he says halachic Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that Shmuel is trying to say the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri concerning the second din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, not concerning hadofa, as we'll see in the sugya on Amud Beis, that Rabbi Yochanan, that Shmuel is saying the halach is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that it's the reason you have to do hafora is because of the future events that will take place. So that means that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that just like you could be Magdish Davar Shlag Ba'alam, you can make a netter for the future Ma'isi Yadayim after the Gerishin. All things that are happening, Shaloi Boli Olam, they're not presently here. Should we say that Shmuel holds that Adam Magdish Davar Shlag Ba'alam? Rimin, I'll ask you a question. Ha-Magdish Ma'isi Da'ishle, if somebody donated the Ma'isi Yadayim of his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, so as we turn to the Peh Amud Beis, Harezu Oisa Vaychalas. So she, the wife, has a right to do the Ma'isi Yadayim and eat from her own Ma'isi Yadayim. As the Ran explains here, based on the Gemara and Ksuba Stuff Nun Chesam and Beis, that as we learned before in the Hagdamah to our Mishnah, that the Chazal were Masakin Ma'isi Yadayim Tachas Mezoinus. So Rav Huna holds that since the Ikr Takana, and we paskin like Rav Huna, was made for the woman, that she for sure should have mezonos, because her ma'isi yadayim might not be equal to her needs. So the Chazal were misakin that the husband should give her total mezonos, but that he shouldn't be upset against her for keeping her earnings. They were misakin that she has to give quid pro quo the ma'isi yadayim to her husband. But since the Ikar Takana was for the wife, Rav Huna holds that she has a right to say, Eini mezoinus v'eini oisa, don't give me your mezoinus, and I won't give you my ma'isi yadayim. I'll exist on my earnings alone without your mezoinus. So since she has the ability to do that, his hegdish cannot work to be magdish her ma'isi yadayim, because she can say, I want to keep my ma'isi yadayim. It's not his to give over. It's hers. And she has the right to say, ain't in the mezoinus for any oitz, and therefore oitze v'oichela, she'll eat from her own earnings. Or the Gemara in Ksuba says, according to the other mandiyomer, disagrees with Rav Huna and holds, and this is the nafka minna, which way the takana works. If the takana is for the wife, then she has a right to say in the zayin sevayin oisa. But if the ikur takana is for the husband, then he should get the ma'isi yadayim from his wife, except quid pro quo, he gave her back mezonos, but then she has no right to say ain't in the zayin sevayin oisa. So how is the halacha here, harezu oisa v'oichalas, that she eats from her own earnings? So the Gemara there explains it, speaking about a case where he was not able to support her, and he didn't give her mezonos. If he didn't give her mezonos, then even that mandiyomer holds that she has a right to exist off her ma'isi yadayim, and she doesn't have to give the ma'isi yadayim to her husband. Now, what about Vaha Moiser? Could he be Magdish the Moiser or not? So here the Run tells us that we're speaking about anything more than the 5 sloim of warp wool per week that we mentioned in Yehuda. That was the amount that was necessary for the wife to earn, and anything more than that is hadafa. So let's say he was magdish the hadafa to the Beis HaMikdash. Is the hegdish chal or not? So Rav Meir says yes, it is chal. And the Ran brings down that Shmuel tells us that even though the husband was giving mezoinus, but he was not giving the more kesef, because the hadafa that the husband gets from the wife is only if he gives her a ma kesef. In this case, he did not give her a ma kesef, and therefore he had no right to the adafa. And the Run continues on the first wide line that Rav Meir, when he says that his hegdish, is speaking not when she is alive, but rather this was ma'isi yadayim that she left over Birusha to her husband after her death. And Rav Meir holds that moiser, if her husband was magdishit, the hegdish is chal. And Rabbi Yochanan Sandler holds, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, I'm Chulin, that it's not Hegdish, it's Chulin, it's not Chal. And what is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, whether Adam Magdish, Dovish, Leibayulim, or not? Since his neder, since his being Magdish, this to the Beis HaMikdash was Negeya the Meiser, that he would receive as a Yerusha from her wife, from his wife after her death, was that chal or not in the future? So Rav Meir says, yes, it is. Rav Yochanan Sandler says, no, it's chul and it's not. Va'amr Shmuel Allah Rav Yochanan Sandler, Allah is like Rav Yochanan Sandler. So this is the Gemara's question. On Ahmed Aleph, we said that Shmuel said Allah in our Mishnah is like Rav Yochanan and Nuri, which means that Adam Magdish, Dovr Shalai Bali Aylam. And here we say that Allah is like Rav Yochanan Sandler, which means that Ain Adam Magdish, Dovr Shalai Bali Aylam. V'chi tema. And if you want to tell me, ki kamar alach Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, ala dafadu kamar. As we mentioned before, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was really telling us two chidushim. One chidush was that I disagree with Rabbi Akiva about adafa. I hold like the Rabbanan that if it were only because of adafa, the husband would not need to be mefer because the adafa belongs to him. So when Shmuel was saying on Amid Aleph that the laws are like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he didn't mean to say b'nageya the din that he has to be mefer because of the future events of Gerushin and the Maisi Adayim. No, he meant to say only that specific halacha of nageya hadafer where Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. So if that's all he wanted to tell us, but legabe magdish davar shloi bal yoylam, he held like Rabbi Yochanan Asandler that ain't on a magdish davar shloi bal yoylam. Lema, let him have said three alternatives. The Gemara says he could have made his case much clearer. Either he should have said halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri hadafa. He should have spelled out, you know, which aspect of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri I'm talking about. I'm talking about hadafa. And because the Ran says, if you say stam halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, it's mashma, you're saying it in the ikur din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who said mefer because of future events, that the neder of the wife could be chal in the future after gerushin, and therefore the husband should be mevatlet now, and we hold adam magdish tovish shalai bal yoyim, and a neder also could be in the future. So you should have said halacha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and if you meant only badafa, you should have said that. Inami, now the Run here has the third possibility before the second possibility that we have in the Gemara. We'll go like the Run. Inami, you should have said that ain't halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. You should have said that the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. And that the Run explains, and that would make sense, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva in any din. Not in the din which Rabbi Akiva said, yofer, because we hold that you don't need a for, because ain't not a magdish tovar shloi bal yoylam. And not with what Rabbi Akiva said, that adafa belongs to her. That's also not true. It belongs to the husband. So he should have said just that the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. And now we have what we have second alternative. The Run has as the third alternative. Inami should have said halacha ketana kama. The halacha is like the ketana kama that says ain't sarach lahafer, and because the ketana kama disagrees and holds ain't adamag v'shtover shloi bal yoylam. So since he didn't say any of these ways, he just said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, so it would be mashma that he holds that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that on a magdish davar shloi bal yoylam. And then we have our stira back, because he also said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, who holds ain't not a magdish davar shloi bal yoylam. Elom Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef gave the following answer: really, we hold ain't not a magdish davar shloi bal yoylam. But you wanted to equate Nedorim with Hegdish? No, Shiny Koinamis, a Neder is different, where even though you can't be Magdish Dover Shloi Bel Yoylam, but you could make a Neder Shloi Bel Yoylam. Why? Because we find that there is a Koyach in Neder, which Hegdish doesn't have. Hoyol V'adam Oyser Paris Chaver Alav. Since a person can Aser his friend's Paris on himself, Oyser Nami Dover Shloi Bel Yoylam Alav. As the Ran explains, you cannot be Magdish the Paris of your friend. It's not in your Rishus to be Magdish. However, you can prohibit to have Anah from the Paris of your friend. The Paris of your friend to you is like a Dover Shloi Bel Yoylam. You have no connection to the Paris of your friend. You don't own them. And yet you're able to usher them upon yourself. So if I see you, I can usher the Paris of my friend on myself, even though I cannot be Magdish the Paris of my friend. Huadin, I can make a neder on something that's loy boli oilam, because a friend's Paris is equivalent a friend's Paris is equivalent to a Dover Shloi Bel Yoylam. If I can make a neder on a friend's Paris, I can make a neder on something Loi Bel Yoylam, and Hegdish is different. Amar Le Abaye, so Abaye said, your answer is not a good answer. As the Ran explains, from your way of thinking, if we go to the ultimate extreme, we will see that your thought is incorrect. Why? Bishlama Adam Oyster Paris Chavera Love. You know why a person can prohibit the Paris of his friend on himself? Share Adam Oyster Paris of Al Chavera. Because I can aser my Paris on my friend. As the Ran explains, something has to be Ba'olam. So my friend's Paris on myself, so I'm Ba'olam. Even if I consider my friend's Paris that are not in my rishus as something, as if it's not Ba'olam, because I have no connection to it, but I'm in the world. So since I can ask for my Paris of my friend on myself, therefore I can usher, since I can usher my Paris on my friend, and why can I usher my Paris on my friend? Because my Paris are here in the world. My Paris are in my Rishus, so I have the right to usher it on my friend, even though he's not part of my Rishus, but something is here, that's my Paris. Therefore, also, I can usher my friend's Paris on myself, because even though the Paris are not here, I'm here. Ella, yes, or dover shaloi boli oilam al chaveray. Should I usher something that didn't come into the world on my friend? What's the case of our mission? The case of our mission is that the wife is going to make a neder that to usher the maisi adayim, which haven't even come into the world, after the get, which hasn't yet happened, and that should be usher on her husband, who's not in her rishus, that she doesn't have any domination over her husband. So everything is loy boli oilam. Everything is not in my rishus. So just like... Just shaharei ein adam oyser peiris chaveri al chaveri. Can you prohibit the peiris of your friend on your friend? No, because there nothing is in your rishus. Your friend's not in your rishus. The peiris are not in your rishus. And therefore, would you be able to usher the peiris of your? Would you be able to usher something that's loy boli oilam on your friend, as the case is in our Mishnah? Nothing is in the world in that case. Not your friend and not the Paris. So just like you cannot usher the Paris of your friend on your friend, because they're not, nothing is in your Rishus, so too in our Mishnah, how could the woman make a neder in the future to usher the Paris of to usher her maisi adayim on her husband? It's a davrusha loy boli oilam. How could the neder and the afora be chal in the future where everything is loy boli oilam? So from the place that you're trying to learn from adam oiser peiris chaverial love, if we follow it to its logical conclusion, we have to say that your answer is not a good answer, because your friend's peiris, which are loy boli oilam, you would not be able to usher on your friend, just like you cannot usher your friend's peiris on him. You cannot usher something that's loy boli oilam on your friend. So how could the neder here take effect on the husband in the future? How could we be dealing with nedorim and afora of the future when it should be considered loy boli oilam, and the chilek that you wanted to make between Kohen Namis and Hegdish does not hold out? And therefore, in tomorrow's shir, the Gemara will continue with giving an answer to this kasha.